Luke chapter 8. Luke, L-U-K-E. I have to spell it. As you can tell, the accent there. Luke chapter 8, and I'm going to read from verse 41 through 56. And Holy Spirit want to speak to us today about our faith, our wants, and our actions. Our faith, our wants, and our actions. Those three, the Lord over the years, walking with the Lord over 30 years, has dealt with me about these three here, and they go together. As a matter of fact, the book of James says, faith without works is dead, which means actions. And there are times that we are caught speaking completely opposite of what we are believing God for. But I'm going to, along this message, share with you a few things that have happened to me positively as I applied God's word, and negatively when I did not apply God's word. But I want us to read this first before as I continue to share. Hallelujah. And the Bible takes note to record and says this. And beyond, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of Synagogue, and he fell down at Jesus' feet and begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter who was about 12 years of age, and she was dying. I want you to make note of that. She was dying. I say I want you to make note of that if you're watching online. She was dying. But as he went, the multitude thronged him. And now here comes another situation. Now a woman having a flow of blood for 12 years, who had spent all her livelihood on physicians and could not be healed by any, came from behind and touched the border of his garment. Another translation says the hem of his garment. And immediately her flow of blood was stopped, and Jesus said, and I pause there for an intention, with an intention. And immediately a flow of her blood stopped, and Jesus said, who touched me? I want you to make note of who touched me. But Jesus said, somebody touched me, for I perceived the power going out from me. Now when the woman saw that she was not hidden, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared to him in the presence of all the people the reason she had touched him and how she was healed immediately. And he's saying to her, daughter, be of good cheer. Your faith has made you well. Now I added, that is not in your Bible. Your faith has made you whole. Oh, well, go in peace. While he was still speaking, someone came from the ruler of the synagogue house, saying to him, your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher. But when Jesus heard it, that was a big day for Jesus. Wow. He's dealing with the two difficult issues here. He answered him saying, do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid. I want you to mark that in your Bible, and especially if you're watching online. Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Do not be afraid, only believe. Hallelujah. Glory to God. There is a place for shouting there. Do not be afraid, only believe, and she will be made well. When will she be made well? Only if you believe. Another verse of the Bible, in the Bible says, if thou canst believe, all things are possible. To those that believe, remember, our subject today is our faith, our wants, and our actions. Let's continue reading. When he came unto the house, he permitted no one to go in except Peter, James, and John. Peter, James, and John were the buddies, were the people who were very close to Jesus, and the father and the mother of the girl. Now all wept and mourned for her. But you say, do not weep. She is not dead, but sleeping. And they ridiculed him, knowing that she was dead. But he put them forth, them all outside, took her by the hand, and called, saying, this is Jesus now. There's a demonstration here. There is an action going to take place here. He says, little girl, arise. Hallelujah. Then her spirit returned, and she arose immediately. And he commanded that she be given something to eat. And her parents were astonished, but he charged them to tell no one what had happened. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for your holy written word, and I pray, even for those who are listening right here and online around the world, that your word, Lord, will be sharp than any two-edged sword, piercing into the heart of men. Understanding these principles of your word, understanding that your word is real, that we are not just bypassers of the Bible and reading it and just going our way, but we have to stand and believe this word of God. Father, I thank you that your word is true to those who believe. And now I pray, as you continue to minister to us, Holy Spirit, that you minister through me, and that my tongue will be as that of a ready writer speaking as oracles of heaven. I pray that I do not add anything to your word, but by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that you minister here today in Jesus' name. I want you to notice that when Jesus returned from the country of Gerasenes, where the episode with the demoniac, you remember the story of demoniac, and the herd of swine took place, a crowd of people followed him continuously because they saw the miracles of Jesus. They saw what Jesus had done with casting out the demoniac and also dealing with numerous issues of people. He had been teaching and working miracles all around Galilee. So, of course, people knew him. And therefore they followed and thronged to see wherever he went. Wherever he went, they went. And all these wonderful things began to happen. Right after Jesus, you remember when he was baptized at the river Jordan by John the Baptist, and he came out of the water. And the Spirit of the Lord had spoken to Jesus and said, and spoken before the multitude, this is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased. And he had gone to the wilderness to fast and pray for 40 days and 40 nights. Spirit of the Lord led him there. So after he had come out of that is when all these miracles, signs and wonders are taking place. God had already declared, and he had already now on a first days of his ministry. He was already on his first days of the ministry. Hallelujah. But Satan, and I want to make sure that people understand, when you gave your life to Jesus, God spoke to him from heaven just as he did to Jesus and said, from now on, you are my son and my daughter in whom I'm well pleased. Now you can go and serve me. What do I mean by that? You can go and witness the gospel. You can witness that I am Jesus, the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the same who did miracles yesterday. I am the same who will do your miracle today. I am the same who will do your miracles tomorrow. I am the same who will touch your daughter, who will touch your son, who will provide for you. I never change. Hallelujah. From today on, you made a covenant with God. When you made Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are no longer alone. You are no longer just walking by yourself. You have authority inside of you. You have something inside of you that is greater, that is bigger than anything else. Hallelujah. And you can do the signs and wonders and miracles. As a matter of fact, the Bible says, greater works than this shall you do, because I go to the Father. So you are not by yourself. So the Spirit of the Lord has come upon you. And now we're going to go back to this story, and I want to tell you something here. See, Luke writes this information after the return of Jesus from the desert with the power of the Spirit, and the fruit of that power is what we see in today's gospel. is what you should see in your life if you're a believer. And if you're not a believer today, we're going to give you an opportunity to give Jesus, to give your life to Jesus Christ at the end of this service. I want you to notice three things I'm going to talk about today. Number one, Jesus never leaves anyone behind. And number two, it does not matter to God your status. That means your look, your appearance, where you are born, whether you are black, whether you are white, whether you are yellow, whatever you are, it does not matter to him. And number three, we must remain focused on our goal. Because if you don't remain focused, and I'm going to get to those 3 points in a little bit, you're going to lose it and the devil is going to come distract you. Many who have been affected by the storms across the land and in the islands today. At one point, they walked in faith and they walked by faith. And they believed God that no weapon formed against them would prosper. But after the storm, we find some of them wavering and wondering whether God is still alive, whether God is still God of Moses, is still God of Abraham, and is still God of Jacob. There is so much wavering, hallelujah, after sickness, diseases, after some of the people have been struck by cancer, and even cancer taken off their lives, hallelujah, they still wonder. They're wondering, is he the same God I believed on 30, 40 years ago? But I'm here to tell you good news that Jesus never changes, but we change. Why? Because we have this vessel. In another, we have this other vessel. But Jesus Christ and the Lord, hallelujah, never changes. God never changes. The same yesterday, today, and forever. And he is willing to do something in your life that you only thou canst believe. You change it. There were times when I was a little boy, my mother told me I was given up to die. I was so thin, I was like walking mantis. I don't know whether you know what that means, but if you can only compare with a locust, hallelujah. I was so thin, I could not hold anything in my body. But my mother believed God, and he stood with God. When the doctor said no, my mother said yes. And I'm here preaching today and saying yes, hallelujah. He can do the same to you because he did it for me. Many years ago in Africa. And I know him. And I can tell you story after story right here in the United States. Back to this story. Here we see Jairus, an official of the synagogue. This is a senior man. He's like a senior man in the government. He's like a commander of the army, of the general of the army. Approached the Lord in great distress. He was distressed. Why? Because one of the family members has been affected. He says, my only daughter, and you might be a mother, you might be a father out there with only daughter, with only son. I want you to envision yourself. I want you to envision yourself and put yourself in Jairus' shoes and see yourself as Jairus. My only daughter, he said, a young 12 years old, dying. He fell to his knees before Jesus, begging him to come and save her. Of course, here's the good news. Jesus, the all-compassionate one, responds immediately and begins to go with Jairus to his home. Remember, point number one, Jesus never leaves anyone behind. I don't know whether he knew Jairus before, but Jesus does not go by how many years of friendship you have had, or how many people know you, or how learned you are, or how unlearned you are. You might be the lowest of the lowest. You might be poor of the poorest. You might be whatever you may want to call yourself. But Jesus Christ is the Lord of all. He is compassionate to all. And I thank God he never leaves anybody behind. Hallelujah. Jesus responds immediately. And he begins to find his way to Jairus' home. According to Luke, he recalls that the crowd was so massive, it was so big, so large, it nearly crushed him. What I mean by that? If you see people thronging and pushing to get close to Jesus, you can only imagine. So in the midst of this now, Jesus is now wanting to respond to this man. In the midst of this, he shows up somebody else. And Luke writes that a woman who had a servant from an hemorrhage or bleeding for 12 years pressed her way through the massive crowd and managed to touch the hem of the Lord's garment. And he was healed. Or she was healed. She managed. And I'm going to come back to this woman because it's intriguing. It's amazing. When you feel like God has 7 billion people and he does not care about your little situation, I want to tell you that Jesus cares about that little minute, little thing you are thinking. Even that 1-2 minutes of sleep you lost last night and you could not sleep maybe all night long, God is concerned and he's saying, my daughter, my son, how is it that you cannot sleep? I am here for you and I love you. And even when you are worried about your son and your daughter, God is careful. God is caring and he loves you so much to the minute, to the detail of whatever you are facing today. But you have to make it personal and you have to believe that he does truly care for you. Ladies and gentlemen, there are times when I felt so lonely. Like after my wife transitioned to heaven, almost a year, next month, I felt so lonely. I felt like I had all friends around me and around the world. But I have never felt that loneliness in my life. But I knew one thing, that Jesus loves me. I knew one thing, that God loves me. I believe that he does love me. I believe that he cares for me. And I had to cling close to him. Sometimes all you have to do is only Jesus will be left with you. What are you doing with this Jesus? Does he see your love for him? Or does he see you encompassed with all these cares and you are just actually clinging and wondering about these other exterior things more than getting close to him? This woman knew something. This woman. Let me explain about this woman. Now here Jesus is on the way to the Jairus to heal the daughter. And he is going to make sure he gets there, even though he has been delayed a little bit. Delay is not denial. How many know that? Your miracle may be delayed, but does not mean God has denied it. According to you, by the way, but according to God, it's not delayed. And this is where most people lose faith. Remember, today we are talking about our faith, our words, and our actions. Some of us begin with great faith, hallelujah. But when situation come, like the storms of life, circumstances come, things come, you lose focus. And all of a sudden, it's not your faith working anymore. It's your mind working day and night. But I want to remain with the subject matter here. I want to talk a little bit about how it does not matter to God your status. God does not look at your appearance. He does not look at who is your father. If my father was the president, God does not care about that. If I had billions of dollars, God does not care about all that. He can answer the prayers of somebody with nothing. I have seen him in the continent of Africa, in the northern part of Kenya, where the bandits come from other nations and they line up people, men and women, fathers and mothers, and the little children are separated from them and they are sat in the front, and with machine guns they straight shoot one by one by one by one across. My brother can tell you the stories, hallelujah. But they will go to the house of God the following morning and kneel down and worship and say, Lord, thank you for sparing my life, and my mother is with you and my father is with you, but thank you for sparing my life. I am in America now, and I can tell you this, and I love America. This is my nation now. But we have lost our vast love for God. We are treating each other with such, I don't even know what to call it. That's why many people don't want to be found in the church. Because the love of God is not eminent, is not evident, is not working and operating in our lives. But I'm here to tell you, God is calling us to go back to the first love, because He loves everybody equally. Your season may not be now, but that does not mean that it will not come. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. This woman, I want to come back to this woman, and that's what I want to come back to, because it's amazing how God looked at this woman. When everybody else looked at her differently, Jesus looked at this woman a little different. Not a little different, but it was a contrast between how people viewed this woman and how God viewed this woman. People may be looking at you down, but God never looks at you down. This woman was considered unclean by the standards of the Mosaic law. Why? She had an issue of blood. She was not supposed to be in public. She was liable for stoning or to be stoned should she be discovered. That's why when she came out, she came with such a speed that she may just reach to Jesus before He disappears. She was determined. She did not care about what people thought of her. She cared about how God, Jesus, thought about her. If you start caring and thinking about, oh, what will so-and-so think? What will so-and-so think? You're going to lose focus, and you're going to lose your faith to reach out to Jesus, who is the author and finisher of your faith. This woman looked right straight ahead. She knew what the world was saying about her. She knew that she could be killed. She knew that she was in a place where she could not even help herself. The doctors could not help her. But she had to turn all to Jesus, all to God. After all, what else did she have to lose? She had lost her blood for 12 years. She had lost her properties. She had lost everything. Now let me explain to you about Mosaic law. And let me explain to you about being unclean in those days. It means nobody had hugged this woman for 12 years. Nobody had said anything to do with that. 12 years. Hello. Come give me a hug. Nobody. Because she had to stay away. Just imagine yourself walking for 10, 12 years and nobody ever said anything to you. Then depression will take your life. But she threw all the caution to the wind in a desperation and reaches out in all-consuming faith to touch the hem of Jesus' garment. Can you imagine this scene? How love to be up there, Brother Vincent, to see this. This was action in demonstration. It was not just talking about faith. It was not talking about Jesus of Nazareth. It was not about talking about the things He did. It was this woman reaching out with unfailing faith. How many times did you get so desperate with God that you had to go to your house and say, I'm not drinking even water, but I'm going to kneel down here by my bed until I feel the presence of the Lord. We don't go by feelings, I know. But sometimes I tell my Father, I have to feel His presence. Hallelujah. When my wife transitioned to heaven, hallelujah, there were times I got so desperate. And I said, Lord, I got to know that You are real. I got to know that You love me. I got to know that You are here for me. And I'm going to stay here until You manifest Yourself. And I had an encounter, not only one encounter with heaven, not only two encounters, Some of these encounters I've not shared with any man. Men have poked me and said, what are you going to do now? Hallelujah. They have no idea. I end a visitation with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and I know heaven is real, and I know, hallelujah, that God is real. When you have come to a place where you are so desperate, where you don't know what to do, where everybody has wronged you, hallelujah, it is time to get back on your knees. Make it personal. It's not about man and you now. It's about God and you now. And when you make it personal and you go on your face before the Lord and you call upon the name of the Lord, not religiously, oh God, listen, those prayers don't take you nowhere. I'm talking about going to God and say, Lord, I'm frustrated. I don't know what to do and what to do from here. But I know that you can help my unbelief. And I kneel here before you now. And I need a touch from heaven. I need a miracle from you. And I'm telling you, you'll come. He came to me. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, I'm standing here strong today, knowing that he is God. I am not talking about God I hand about. I am not talking about a God I hand about from my favorite preacher. Oh, what a TV minister. I'm talking about my relationship with God. Have I messed up? Oh, yes, many times I've messed up. And God knows I've messed up. But he is very faithful. And he is merciful. And he is gracious. And I know I can talk about him because he is gracious. And he is merciful. And he is kind. And he is forgiving. One of the things in the Christian world today is the spirit of unforgiveness has hindered people from their miracles. But I'm here to tell you, I want to get back to this woman. I want to get back to the preaching. She was desperate. How desperate are you? If the doctors have told you no, there's no hope. If men have told you no, there is no hope. If people have called you all kinds of names, there is no hope. Do you believe that Jesus Christ, do you believe that God Almighty, do you believe that he can? Do you believe that he can? I say, do you believe that he is only one who will not consider circumstances? But look at you and say, daughter, my blood that was shed at Calvary is sufficient for you. Christians today are living in comparison. And the enemy has used that to trick many, because we are comparing one with another. If I wish I had that car, if I wish I had that property, if I wish I had that like so and so. Listen, forget that. Know that it's the same God who blessed them if they were blessed. Some of them have gotten it by crook and make. But if the same Jesus Christ of Nazareth who blessed them, if they were blessed by that, he can do the same, because he is not a respecter of persons. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And therefore, you have to make it personal. I always advise and tell people, make it personal. Make it personal. Make your relationship with God personal. I am telling you, I have stopped living my life by what other men dictate to want me to do. I have started living my life by what Jesus Christ and the Commander-in-Chief tells me to do. Whatever he tells me to do, I do it. Now, that does not mean that I cannot receive instruction. That does not mean I cannot receive a prophetic word. That does not mean that I don't seek advice. I have a pastor. But what that means is, Whatever I am told outside, God has to bear witness in my spirit before I execute it or before I do it. If it does not bear witness with me, you can talk to me, you can tell me everything you want to tell me, but if I go to pray and God says, I did not tell you to do that, I am going to stop it. I know I'm going to make some people mad, but you may as well. Because this is God speaking this morning. Now, I want to come back here. This woman. Jesus comes to the hall. In other words, Jesus, can you see him? The clouds is behind him and everywhere, and people are thronging and people are all over, and he is going to Jairus. He is focused to go and get this girl. Hallelujah. Whom she said, who Jesus said, she is just but asleep. And then somebody touched him and he stopped and he screamed, "Who touched me?" You know what? A lot of people think Jesus said, "Who touched me? Who touched me?" No, I believe Jesus used a big, bang, loud noise, voice. "Who touched me? Ha! Who touched me?" You can imagine the cloud was noisy. The cloud was what? Noisy. So Jesus had to kind of raise his voice too, I believe, because even Peter heard him. Peter could not have heard him. But he was bothered by the question. That is amazing. Peter was bothered by the question, "Who touched me?" Wow. He said to Jesus, "Why you ask this odd question, who touched me? Don't you see there are so many people around you, everybody is touching you?" How can you even ask that question? People have been touching you all day long. Many people are touching you. But the Bible says, no, Jesus replied, "Someone has touched me, for I know the power has gone." Woo! Glory to God. You can touch Jesus a different way, and the power can go out of him. Hallelujah. You can be in church. You can be in a gathering. You can be in a crusade. You can be somewhere, and somebody will touch him and get healed because there is something different. It's a touch of faith. Everybody say, touch of faith. There is something about touching Jesus with your faith that will cause something different to happen in your life. We can be in a congregation like this, or we can be in a gathering outside. And Jesus, in the midst of all this, the woman with the issue of blood did something that had not been done by everybody else, including his disciples. Oh, Riba Katara Mahashi, Erebo De Grebokosa. This is a shouting place right here. Oh, hallelujah. We are in a Pentecost. If you're watching online, by the way, we are a Pentecostal church. We are not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is something about you can touch him right in your living room. You can touch him where you are. You can touch him by your faith. Someone touched Jesus differently. It was a touch of faith. Hallelujah. Peter saw that. Why Peter was saying, "What do you mean? Who touched me? The clouds are pressing all around you, Jesus. Many people are touching you." Jesus saying, "No, it is not that. Something has happened to me. Somebody in the midst of this crowd has touched me a little different." I want to pause there and ask you, and if you're watching online, how are you touching your master? Are you touching him with faith? or with your human mind. There is a place in the heavenly. There is a place with God. I tell you right now, when I was in the continent of Africa, before I came to America, let me tell you a little bit about that for those who have not heard it. There was a time my tickets were already purchased. I was ready, getting ready to leave. But there was gap war. Nobody could fly out of Nairobi International to United States because of the gap war with Saddam Hussein. The Saudi Arabia Airlines and airspace was shut down. The American Embassy in Kenya was shut down. But I went to the mountain. I went to the forest in prayer and fasting. And I asked the Lord what I should do. And as I waited on the Lord, everybody say, wait on the Lord. As I waited on the Lord, hallelujah. I believe for the span of 1.5 months, he came and spoke to me. He said, son, you're going to America soon. And those who have heard me say this story, I'll say it again. It was not enough for God to say soon. I want him to give me a date. But you know how many know that God will not work your calendar? How many know God may have promised you a breakthrough, but your breakthrough is not going to come in your season. It's going to come in God's season. It's going to come in God's calendar. Hallelujah. And all you have to do is stand in faith while you are waiting for the manifestation of the glory and the power of God. I had to make a decision. While as I was in the forest waiting on the Lord, do I want to continue to wait? Or do I want to try to convince God to hurry up? And believe me, I have. But the Bible says those who wait upon the Lord shall be renewed. I chose to wait on the Lord. I want to get to this. That's why I don't want to get distracted. And as I waited, the gap was subsided. The American embassy opened for a little bit. The airspace in Saudi Arabia opened. Now I can fly from Nairobi International Airport across Saudi Arabia, across to Europe, across to America. And I landed in March 19th in the United States of America. And then the gap was started again. And things started happening again. I'm talking about the God of Moses who spread the Red Sea. When Moses came up the Red Sea, hallelujah, they did not know how to cross over. They had seen God of Abraham deliver them from Egypt, deliver them from the hand of the Pharaoh. But they had not seen the God of now. They had not seen the God who is going to part the Red Sea. And Moses cried up unto the Lord. Oh, Shabrekalahane. He cried up to the Lord. The people are thronging, millions of people there, and they don't know what to do. And they see the chariots. They hear the sound of the chariots of Pharaoh after them. And Moses cried to the Lord. And the Lord said, what is in your hands? Brothers and sisters, you may be watching around the world and online. What is in your hands? Do you have a mouth to worship? Open up your mouth and worship God. Can you start to declare his deity? Can you, in the midst of the storm, start to say hallelujah, praise the Lord? And don't count the number, katara mashanda, but sing unto the Lord. Worship the King of glory in the midst of the night, in the crisis you are facing today. Can you start and don't stop until you see the manifestation of the glory of God? Are you crying out to God? Are you crying out to God, I'm asking? Or are you complaining? Which is which? You cannot complain and cry out to God at the same time. That's a no-no. A lot of people are not crying to God, they are complaining. We are talking about our faith, our words, and our actions. Is your faith corresponding to your actions? I had to cry out to the Lord. And yes, it appeared like it took a long time. But God came through. God came through. And I'm here to encourage you. God will come through for you. Just like he did with the woman with the issue of blood. Jesus Christ touched this woman because of a cry of faith. People in the world and put her down. She was considered unclean. She was bleeding for 12 years. Nobody, she could not even come to on public. You might have been bleeding, not necessarily the bleeding of the blood, but you are facing so many issues in your life. Your family, your sons, your daughters, your mothers, your fathers, your family, your nation may be facing crisis, but I'm here to tell you, hallelujah, he is the God of miracles. Jesus the same yesterday, the same today, and the same forever. Hallelujah. And he can come to your rescue. It does not matter what crisis you are in now. He will touch you. If he was able to touch this woman with the issue of blood, he will touch you. He will deliver you. He will make you whole. He will bring your daughter home. He will bring your son home. He will provide for you. Why? Because he is a God of more than enough. We all face situations in life. Don't let the devil beat you up because of the things that you missed. Jesus still loves you. I'm sure this woman had missed a lot during the time of 12 years of waiting. She then spent all that she had. She did not know how to follow the Holy Ghost. But thank you, Lord Jesus, there was a day that it came. It was a day of a miracle. Your day of miracle is at hand. Don't give up and don't give in to the enemy. He will bring it to pass. If he was able to bring this to pass, he will bring it to pass for you. There was something different about this woman. Touch. There was an intent behind it. There was faith behind it. There was rich content in her touch. That made the contact significant with the master. That it coaxed the power of God to proceed from our Jesus. Why? It brings me to the third point. That final point. Remember, number one, Jesus never leaves anybody behind. It does not matter your color of the skin. It does not matter how much money you have in the bank, Brother Nin. It does not matter. It does not matter who is your father and who is your mother. Some people are saying, I wish I was born in a rich family. Don't worry, God is richer than any family on the earth. You are born of the Spirit of God. If you are born of the Spirit of God, if you are born of the Spirit of God, if you are born of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. He is your father. He is your father. And he will touch you. And he will make every bit whole. He does not leave anything behind. And I'm going to tell you some secrets. So why this woman? This woman was focused on her goal. She had spent everything. She had property. She had cows or chicken. I believe she had sold them to pay the Dr. Luke. I think Dr. Luke was rich from this woman. But no one would cure a sickness. You may have gone from one doctor to another doctor. You may have a terminal case in your life and disease that is taking over your life. And you have spent everything and now even insurance companies don't want to see you anymore. But I have some good news for you today. Jesus wants to see you. You are the candidate when everybody else has failed you. Jesus is the one who is now. Let hallelujah. And you're saying, come, come, come all you that are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Are you sick and tired of waiting on men to bless you? Are you sick and tired of seeing the doctor whether they can give you another good report? This woman had spent everything. As a matter of fact, she did not even care dying now. Remember, according to Mosaic law, she was not supposed to come out in the public. But she said, I don't care whether they stone me, but I got to see this Jesus. I don't care whether they throw me in the pit. I don't care whether they shoot me. I have to see this Jesus. There is a place in our lives when we have to say, I don't care what people sing about me. I don't care when people hear me singing to the Lord. I don't care what people say when I sing Jesus. I have to touch the hem of his garment. And it's only then, that God will say, who touched me? So we must remain focused. That's my final word here. We must remain focused on our goal. One reason I believe this woman was healed is because she was focused on her goal. She was undistracted by the crowd. The noise of the crowd and the size of the crowd did not bother her. Remember, it's one thing to get out in the night for this woman, according to Mosaic law. Because at least there are a few people in the night. Because at least she might escape in the dark. But she came when there was cloud, there was noise, there was everybody, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, everybody. A lot of people don't want to profess the Lord in the public. But if you deny him in public, he will deny you before his Father. When you need a miracle, it's no time to shy off and say, I don't want nothing to do with Christianity. I don't want to do that. It has nothing to do with your brother. It has nothing to do with your sister. It has everything to do with you and God. Hallelujah. It's a covenant not cut by you and men. Hallelujah. Thank God there are covenants by men. But this is a covenant between you and God in my life. There were times when I had to make a sorry decision. What is this thing about? Is it about destroying my relationship with God, or is it about destroying my relationship with men? And I have to choose. I want to stay clean with God. I want to stay pure with God and make a decision to honor my Lord. And this woman made the right decision. She pushed. She shoved. She did not have fear of being discovered. Since unclean women were forbidden in the contact with ratio pure, she was not distracted even by her own suffering. She did not let her emotions, her will, take over. We have a lot of Christians that cannot receive their breakthrough today because their will and emotions and their mind, their soul and command has taken over. They can't see anything good from anybody. They have become critical. They have become angry. They have become bitter, and God is far from them. They may be calling God all right, but he's not hearing. I wish I had time to take you to Mark chapter 4, verse 23 through 25. But I'll quote it the best I can for the sake of time. The Bible says, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and cast into the sea, and shall believe what they say, and not doubt in their heart, they shall have whatsoever they say. Why are people, thank you, why are people not receiving their miracles? They are saying one thing. They are believing one thing. They are saying one thing. They are doing another thing. No. Mark 11, 23, 24 says, whatever things you desire, when you believe, and do not doubt in your heart, you shall have. Then there is a conjunction there on verse 25. And if you start praying and you offer forgiveness against another, you remember, you start and you, I have unforgiveness against so and so. You go and reconcile. You see why many people's answers are not coming. Harboring unforgiveness. Unbelief. But I'm here to tell you by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. It is your moment to decide what you want. Honor of man. Recognition of man. Favor of man. Or recognition of God. Honor of man, favor of God, mercy of God, peace of God. What do you want? The decision is yours. Your faith is essential for your miracle, regardless of how long it takes. The faith of this woman, what was made her whole. She believed even after 12 years there was a God. How many years have you been waiting for your miracle? Some of us it's only maybe a few months. Some of us it's maybe a year. Some of us maybe it's 5 years. But whether it's 100 years or 50 years or 6 months, God is never late. Most times he's waiting for us to align up with his word. For his miracle working power to come in place. But if you continue complaining and murmuring, you wait a little longer. Sometimes we inflict our own wounds. You have to let go. You have to release others. You have to put yourself in possession. Oh, man. There's also, I'm going to have to close, but I'm telling you, it's so powerful here. Because we did not even get to Jairus. But we are not going to get to Jairus today. Some reason the Holy Spirit wanted me to stop at this woman. And I sense the anointing somebody is receiving from the Spirit of the Lord right now. I don't know whether it's right here or online, but the presence of the Lord is here now. And he's touching you right now. Jesus has been waiting. Jesus has been calling you. Remember, I did not say you are a pastor. I did not say a man. I say, Jesus, come, let's reason together. Where are you missing it? Why is it that you can't get your breakthrough? Holy Spirit wants to show you. And if I am encouraged by this woman so much, because if it took this long, if she spent everything she had, everything was broken, I think all she was left with was the breath to be able to reach to Jesus. That was all. But from that moment, the whole city said,
This woman too, I now know her.
I love it. She was a known person, and that day, she became public. She became public figure. Everybody knew about her now. Everybody talked about her now, including the big shots in the government. There is a day coming when you honor the Lord and you stay with him and you do not give up. God is going to extort you and you're going to have a testimony that's going to bless the rest of the world. Jesus Christ is coming again. We have to live for Jesus, not men. It's not what man approves of you, it's what God approves of you. This power of self-denial. This woman was uniquely prepared for the encounter. Her long-suffering and prepared her to meet the incarnate God, the Almighty. She literally had nothing to lose. She had abandoned all her feelings of shame and fear. She passed beyond everything, including herself, with a single-minded purpose to touch the hem of his garment. She became a model of a spiritual life for all of us, you and me. She fully incorporated in herself the importance of self-worth and completely detached herself from the world and everything it has to offer, so that she can touch the hem of his garment with faith. If you want the supernatural touch of heaven, you have to detach yourself from the world. You have not to do things like the world. The Lord had to teach me that through a business, my business. There are times I don't care what men say, that when I go to pray and fall on my face, I listen to the voice of the Lord. And the voice of the Lord will tell me, stay there. I'm talking about in price. Oh, you are too high. Oh, go there. I have learned to trust God in everything. Do I miss it? Of course. We are human. But when you miss it, don't let the devil beat you up with condemnation. Just pick your legs up. Pick yourself up again. Say, I'll make it, bless the Lord. Jesus loves me, bless the Lord. God loves me, bless the Lord. I am going to get to this water. I am going to drink again. Oh, drink of the Spirit of the living God. I am going to see good life again. My God is working. He is working. But don't let your mind walk you up. Ooh, my heart here, alas. You might be here listening. Coming to close of this broadcast. You might be online watching. Whose report are you going to believe? We're in the last days and Jesus Christ is coming again. Make no mistake about it. Well, Pastor, I've heard that over and over and over. Yes, and you're going to hear it again over and over and over. But you better be ready for his coming. You know, at least the news media alerted us about the storm. And so every night we watch, the eye of it came through Polk County. At least we knew something, but we did not know what was going to happen. But we braced ourselves for the thing. Some of you, you buttoned up your windows. I don't care what you did. You got some water. Some of you ran out of water. You embraced yourself for the worst. But when it comes to the things of the kingdom, we keep on hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. We keep on hearing that Jesus is coming back. We keep on hearing the good news of the Lord, and prepare yourself for the coming of the Lord. But nobody is paying attention to that. But I'm here to tell you, God is reaching out with his mercy and grace one more time. Just like in the days of Noah, he told the people, Noah built the ark and bring everything in it. And some people mocked Noah. They say, oh, there's no rain. There has not been rain in the land. And preachers of the gospel from around the world are preaching the coming of the Lord. It draws nigh. The Bible says when you see the signs, these signs, what you are seeing now on the earth, the earthquakes, the wars, all these things happening. Don't make no mistake. You can read Matthew chapter 24. The coming of the Lord draws nigh. What are you seeking for? The natural or the spiritual? But I'm here to exhort you the good news today. He is seeking for you. Jesus of Nazareth is walking. He might be walking in your house right now. He might be walking wherever you're watching right now. He is knocking. He is saying, hallelujah. Do you want me? He is willing, but are you willing? It's not which church you go to. That's not what I'm preaching. It's good to have you. And it will be good to have you. If you don't have a local church to be a part of MCM worship, we will bless you and encourage you. Tomorrow at 11 o'clock, come hear another gospel message. But it's about your personal relationship today. It's about you and Jesus. And in a minute, I'm going to lead you in this prayer. It's a prayer of commitment. It's between you and God. While there's so many things are raging around and across the world, the storms of life that many are experiencing even today, are you ready to meet Jesus? Again, I say, you may not come in this place. You may not give anything in this place. It's not about that. It's about your personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Are you ready for his coming? I'm going to ask everybody with their eyes shut just to pray this prayer. You pray and you mean it from your heart. If you do, before you leave this building, you tell somebody, I prayed the sinner's prayer. If you're watching online, you can email us. Or call the church, 813-621-5648. Or church at mcmworshipcenter.org. Tell us about the testimony. Tell us about what you received. Tell us about Jesus. And let Jesus take over your family. Let Jesus take over your daughter. Let Jesus touch your daughter and your son. Let Jesus be the one to provide for you. Let Jesus bring healing in your home, in your mind, will, and emotions. So everybody, please pray this prayer meaning from your heart. We'll pray together. Because I don't want to, you know, just so that we pray with the ones online. Everybody say, Lord Jesus, I come to you just as I am. I am a sinner needing forgiveness. I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Wash me today with your precious blood. I receive you now as my personal Savior and also the Lord of my life. I believe that you touch my family, you touch my children, you touch my mom and dad and my friends through me. I want to be used for you. So help me, God. Thank you, Lord, for writing my names in the book of life today. Amen. And if you pray that prayer, I want to tell you right now, Jesus Christ, the one I preached about, is come to live inside of you. It is that simple. Don't make anybody make it complicated. That's your Jesus now. The same way he did that woman with the issue of blood. He has come. Healing begins. Now if you're here and you are sick in your body and you need that touch from heaven, the same power of Jesus will heal you, will break those chains, deliver you from the bondage. So I'm going to ask you, as others sign in out there, once we dismiss, to come forward. I'm going to pray with you. If it is not you, but you have a loved one that needs a touch and a miracle right now, I'm going to agree with you. I sense the presence of the Lord here. I sense the anointing of the Holy Spirit. I do sense him strong. And when he comes, I know why he comes. Because he loves people. Let me say to that somebody again who has had a lot of condemnation. God does not condemn. Romans 8:1 says, there is now therefore no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Don't beat yourself because you snapped and you said something that you should not have said. You asked for forgiveness today and he forgave you. Yesterday is gone. An hour ago is gone. A minute ago is gone. It's a new day. Receive peace. Be blessed.